spit. I mean, you're some front rows. At least I got somebody up here with me. We'll be all right up here. But I'm glad you're here. I hope you know, whether it's your first time, maybe first time in a long time in church, or maybe this is your home, I'm glad you're here. It is a special day. I think you've seen the little video clip. We're going to do a baby dedication this morning. Several months ago, a young lady in the church, or a young lady who is part of our church, not in our local area, Monique, sent me an email saying, hey, let's have a baby dedication. And I'm going, well, we had a bunch of babies born over the summer. Anybody, went through that adventure, I'll put it that way. And I'm glad. I seen a video the other day. They had two gentlemen walk in, and they were setting them up, and they wired them all up so they could feel the pain of having birth. And so they put these things on these men, and they laid them on the table, and they got them all going. Their wives are standing there. And they began to have the men have contractions, and these guys were wailing. I mean, these guys, they could not handle it. It was so funny to watch. So, ladies, you have nothing but my respect, all right? I can't imagine that. But we're going to talk about it this morning. But what I want to do this morning is make sure I paint a picture of what a baby dedication is. A baby dedication isn't that this child is going to go to heaven because we've dedicated this child. A child is safe in God's hands until they reach an age where they can make a decision. And I say it this way in our church week in and week out. There's this invisible line. And on this invisible line, you got to make a choice. And it's not, well, I shook a preacher's hand, or I was raised in church, or my grandma was a my grandfather was a preacher, or my dad was this. It's not about any of that. There's a personal decision we all have to make. And I say it this way in church every week. Got to reach a point in your life where you said something along this line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. Because most of us realize we haven't handled life always very well. And so we got to turn our lives over to God. And our children, and when we dedicate these children, we're going to raise them so that at some point in their life, they can make that decision. So we're trying to create this family, this spiritual family that will help them grow and begin to understand the nature of life and how God wants to bless them and God wants to minister in their life. And we're really trying to instill that. But we have a challenge, because if we look in our world today, I don't know about you, I see a lot of hate in the world. Anybody see a lot of hate in the world besides me? You know, I think our world's out of control right now. And if we just let our children, you know, well, good luck. You know, you're going to teach a child to swim. Okay, here you go. Go swim. Would anybody ever do that to a child? And okay, I don't know. But I can't imagine that we'd throw our children out into the world without having some kind of a foundation. And that's what family's all about. And what's so interesting is we've kind of moved away. I got a little statistic here I want to show you on the screen as we look at family. Even in today's world, 53% of the millennials, that's kind of the millennial generation, says family is important to who they are. That family played a major role in them becoming the adult that they are. And as you go up, what it did, it kind of went through the baby boomers and the different generations there. And so still yet, even today, we're saying that family, 53 of millennials, that younger generation that many of us older ones criticize, right? We're saying that they still believe family is essential to their identity when they were growing up. And it kind of goes all the way up, 61, boomers, and you know, all those various generations in there. But as I read that, I was wondering about, you know, when I was in my 20s, you know how dumb my parents were? Anybody remember that? Your parents didn't know anything. You know, 19, how smart were your parents when you were 19? Anybody, you know? Your parents had no idea about life, you know? They were just, you know, they didn't get it, you know? But as you got older, how many of us now, as we get older, we look back on our parents and we realize, man, they sure got smart now. You know, they got smarter as they got older, didn't they? Well, the reality is we become smart. And I kind of wonder if maybe that plays a role. You know, the older I got, the more I appreciated what my parents tried to instill in me. Anybody else in that boat? The older I got, the more I began to understand what they were trying to teach and what they were trying to lay out for me. And that's what I want to kind of talk about this morning. Because we got to lay this out for our children. If we're going to dedicate our children, what are we going to dedicate them to? And there's a passage here that we found in the book of Deuteronomy. God had given Moses these 15 commandments, and he dropped one. Anybody familiar with that? You guys are Is anybody here? Did you ever see one of those? What was that movie? Oh, I tell you, I'm lost this morning. You know, no, he only got 10, all right? Man, you guys, anybody ever, what was his name now? Come on. This World, what is that? History of the World? Oh, come on, you guys. You're leaving me hanging out here this morning. Mel Brooks movie. Yeah, you guys don't get it. Okay, just let the pastor hang here. He's there. You know. No, God gave 10 commandments, right? Anybody familiar with those? Anybody got an idea what the 10 commandments are? You know, thou shalt not, you know, and thou shalt, you know, those kind of things and those 10 commandments. Jesus made it real simple saying there's two, you know. I think that's, you know, he kind of summarized all those 10 into the two. Love God and with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think that's a good one we should hold up today. You know, isn't that what we want to instill in our children? We kind of gave us some instructions on how to. Here at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 19. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Get a picture. Fix these words in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talking about them when you, why don't you circle this? Sit at home. And circle this. When you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. He said, here's these 10 commandments. Here's this simple teaching. Love God. Love one another. And just instill them in your life. He talked about tying them. And just so you know, they literally, there are some Orthodox Jews that tie these little leather boxes. They're phylacteries. I had to try to remember that word. It's called a phylactery. They literally tie it upon their arm, tie it upon their head, and it has the Ten Commandments and some verses from Exodus and Deuteronomy and Isaiah that they tie and that they wear. Some of the Orthodox Jews, because that's what it says. But what I see Jesus saying is this. When you're sitting at your dining room table, which many of us don't do much anymore, talk about God. When you're walking through the world, when you're going through life, you're experiencing life, talk about, teach them. How many people today, I mean, now when I grew up, we learned the golden rule. Anybody here know the golden rule? Some of you are going, I have no idea what the golden rule is. You know, I remember it was written on the chalkboard in school. I don't think they could do that anymore. But they used to write the golden rule. Anybody? Do to others before they do it to you. That's not it. Am I close? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, we used to have these things, but nowadays people don't know those things. Family has to be a place where they learn and grow. You know, it's not just a place, I'm going to teach my kid to walk. I'm going to teach my kid to eat. I'm going to teach my child how to speak. I'll just let them grow up and kind of figure out this religious thing. What do you think? See, I think our world is missing. You know, I look at our world today and I'm wondering, could that be why they're... We've kind of pushed this aside, and there seems to be this percolation of hate and evil words and evil acts. And I want to challenge us as we do a baby dedication that as we sit around, we talk to our children, our grandchildren. We share the stories. We teach them the truths. We teach people how to love one another. We teach people how to love God. There's a guy in the Bible named Timothy. Not much. He's got two books written about him. Paul wrote two books to him. But he's got a very interesting life if you want to look at Timothy. Timothy was a young man in the Galatia era, and it kind of starts with his story. Kind of starts with a guy named Paul. He's the writer of most of the New Testament. He's out starting churches. He's out preaching evangelism, telling people about Jesus. And he goes to this area of Galatia. Him and a guy named Barnabas go to this area called Galatia. And they start planting all these churches in this area. And many people began to start following Jesus. Well, they go back. They were sent out by Antioch. They go back. They have a big old meeting in Jerusalem. A lot of things going on. And they decide they're going to go out again. So Paul is going to go out again. And him and Barnabas kind of get in a little dispute. You know, Christians can even have trouble with that. You know, being a Christian, I'm a pastor. I've never had a problem in my life. Some of you guys are going, we know you. You're a problem. You know? We all do. So these two guys had some little issues. And so they wanted, you know, Barnabas said, hey, we got this guy named Mark, and I want to take him. And Paul's saying, he bailed on us. I ain't going to take him. And so they get in a little dispute. So they decide they're going to go separate ways. And Barnabas is going to go back to the old area, and Paul's going to go out and start new churches again. So Paul picks Silas, and they take off. And as to get to where they're going, they got to go through the old area. And as they go through, they find a guy named Timothy. I got a passage here for you. Give you a little outline. You can follow along. It reads this. Paul came to Derbe in Lystra, where a follower named Timothy lived. Timothy's mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek. The believers in Lystra and Iconium respected Timothy and said good things about him. Paul comes to this town, Lystra, Iconium, area of Galatia, passing through. He's going over to Macedonia. He's going to kind of curve around to Greece. He's going to kind of make a journey around. And as he goes through this town, he runs into one of the guys. Timothy's probably one of the guys he had shared the faith with first. Timothy is probably one of the early believers in this area. And he runs into it, and he's already got a good reputation. He'd been a believer for a year or so. The stories about his life are good. He's doing good. And so Paul decides, Timothy, why don't you go with us? So Paul takes Timothy, and they begin their journey. And here's this young man following along with Paul and Silas, and they're going out planting churches. They're going kind of around the Aegean Sea. They're kind of going around into Greece and Athens, and they're traveling the known world of their time, and here's Timothy going along with them. And Timothy becomes kind of a gopher. He's kind of the guy that Paul says, hey, Timothy, I need you to go back to Thessalonica and take this news to this city. You know, Timothy, I need you to go over to Macedonia. I need you to take this letter over to Macedonia. And he begins sending Timothy out, and Timothy and him become really close friends, and he has a lot of respect for Timothy, and you can read, and Timothy goes with him to Ephesus. You can read Paul's letters. If you read most of the New Testament that Paul wrote, he always had the word Timothy. Greetings from Timothy. Greetings by Timothy. Over through many of those letters, six of those letters. He writes two letters to him. There's this tremendous relationship with Timothy. Look what he says here in the book of Philippians. I hope that the Lord Jesus would allow me to send Timothy to you soon so that I can receive some encouraging news from you, about you. I don't have anyone else like Timothy. He takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Timothy is a man who had a heart, a young man who had a heart for people. He had a heart for the gospel. He had a heart for Paul. He had a heart for those who didn't know Jesus. He had a special place in his life. He's not just like an ordinary guy. He's a man of faith, a young man of faith. And Paul is using him. He's out passing these letters around him. In the end, if you follow the story, Timothy ends up going with Paul to a town called Ephesus. And there's some problems in the church. There's some false teachers. I'm going to tell you, everybody that says they're a Christian today, anybody watch Christians on TV? Everybody that says they're Christians on TV may not be a Christian, all right? You know, you can check me. I'll encourage you to check me. You know, my definition is somebody reach a point in their life where they say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. I want to be like Jesus. You know, I want to be like Jesus. Now, I'm not there yet, all right? I've been here for a long time, and some of you know I'm not there yet. You know, but I'm going to try to be like Jesus. And so Paul sends Timothy to Ephesus and says, hey, listen, you need to go there and help them learn the truth. Timothy has all this respect. He's a man of reputation. He's a man of faith. He's a man with character. He's a man with integrity. He's a man with honor. He is a young man that has grown up, nurtured, and taught. But I want to ask you something. Where did it all start? Did it start when Paul met this young man in Lystra and Iconium and Derbe? Did it start when he was a young man? Or did it start when he was a child? I want you to look at this passage with me. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Paul is telling Timothy, listen, I remember, I see your sincere faith. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. That's my point this morning. That's what I want us to see this morning. Timothy's faith wasn't something that sprouted up as a young man. Timothy's faith that was nurtured when he was a baby, when he was a child. I want to make sure you get a picture that Timothy was a man that had a foundation, that as he was growing, his mother and his grandmother nurtured him in the faith. And that's what I want a baby dedication to be about. That we're going to grow up our children. I believe, now you need to know, I look at our country now and some of us are going, man, it's bad and it's getting worse. Anybody on board with that? But I'm going to tell you something. For my life, I believe the best years of my life are still ahead. You know what? I believe there's still good times ahead for America. Anybody else? Come on, show me some support here. I really do. And I'm going to make a difference. You know how am I going to make a difference? With the children. I can change the future by nurturing the children like Timothy. Anybody? What do you guys think? You guys are quiet this morning. That if we nurture our children in the faith, if we teach them, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love others as God has loved you, do you think that would change our world? Can we touch the future today here in this place? See, that's why I want us to see Timothy changed his world. His dad was Greek. His mom was a believer. Talking about two different cultures. Opposites. And he became a man of God who changed his world, who was used in great and mighty ways. And so I call this message this morning, Faith's Pedigree. That our faith has a pedigree. Anybody ever do their genealogy and you get your ancestors and your pedigrees and you do, anybody ever do any of that besides me? You know, and it's like, okay, here's my life and there's my dad and my grandfather and my great-grandfather. And I've went all over, you know, I've been all over America. I've been in Georgia and I found my great-great-great-grandfather's graves and I've looked all this stuff up. But my faith. Now see, let me tell you, I was dragged to church. Anybody else been dragged to church in the past? When I was growing up, I was dragged to church. You know, we are going to church. I remember getting up watching Lamb Chop. Anybody remember Lamb Chop in the morning? Yeah. I remember getting up watching Lamb Chop in the morning and trying to be real quiet so we didn't wake mom and dad up. Because we didn't want to go to church. But God made a difference. See. Now my parents didn't have that kind of a foundation for me. I was dragged to church, got to be about 12, 13 years old. It's like, Mom, Dad, we're tired of going to church. All right, we don't go no more. I got back into church when I was 17 years old, thanks to my aunt, uncle, cousins, grandparents. They're the ones that got me back into church. It made a difference in my life. And I want to challenge that. I want us to think about that. What's that faith? I've done my genealogy, and I've tried to look at the faith, you know. I'll be honest, you know, the name Dew, when I did my genealogy, there ain't much faith in the line of Dew. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, my mom's side, my grandfather was a preacher. They never pastored a church. They were, I'll use the word, they were Okies out of Oklahoma, and they followed the crops up and down the valley here. Some of you kids are here going, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, that they were the migrants of their day. Okies were the migrants of their day. All right, I'll paint that picture for you. You know, yeah, the grapes of wrath. And they went up and down the picking. I got papers where they were serving in different places in Visalia area and all the way down by Ventura and all of that. And my grandfather's what they called a brush arbor preacher. I'm in seminary, all right? I'm 25 years old, and they go, they're talking about preaching up and down, and they've talked about a brush arbor, and I'm going, I had no idea what a brush arbor was. Anybody know what a brush arbor was? Now, some of you are going to raise your hand because you've been around. Nobody knows what a brush arbor is, see? I didn't know either, but I asked my mom. I go, Mom, you know, you guys know what a brush arbor is? Yeah, your grandfather preached in brush arbors. It was just, they would just prop up some poles, throw some brush over the top of it, And that's where they would preach. And that's my grandfather preached. Now, you would not be thrilled. If my grandfather was here this morning, you guys would not appreciate my grandfather's message, okay? Some of you might, because he's going to raise a little hell and fire in here, all right? Either you're going to turn or you're going to burn. Take your pick, all right? I heard my grandfather preach one time, and I regret that. I wish I would have known more of my grandfather. That he was a hell, fire, and brimstone preacher. That was the times, all right? You either turn or burn. I'm going to tell you, hell is real and it's hot, and I don't want to go there. Anybody else? You know? But I would rather talk about God loves you and sent his son to die for you. Isn't that what it says? You know? But I go back and I see that on my mom's side, and you know, and then my dad's mother's side had a little more faith on that side. You know, I love it when I went back to Oklahoma and seen my great aunt, 20 years old, and I'm in her house, and she had a plaque on the wall of her house. Now, I want you to think about it. She had a plaque on the wall of her house. She's about 80 at this point. She had just got a reward from her church for serving Vacation Bible School for 30 years. And she was 78 when she got the award. You know, and I remember that. And she talks about how much my grandma died before I entered the ministry, and how much my grandma would appreciate me doing what I'm doing. I wish I would have had a chance to have my grandmother know that. But my other grandma, I got to preach her funeral. I got to preach my grandmother's funeral and had a chance to tell some of my family that's not in church anymore this passage right here and how I appreciate my grandmother. See, I wonder about our faith. Does your faith have a pedigree? What are you going to pass down? See, here's what I want for me. I want my children of God to make a difference in this world in the of the love that God has. Anybody? I want my grandchildren to love God, to love others as God has loved them, to make a difference in this world. That's what I want. That's what my heart beats. My grandchildren, none of those yet, okay? No rush there, all right? No rush. But I want my great-grandchildren. I want to have a faith that we can trace down, that somebody could write this. That faith that's in that great-grandchild was first in your grandmother, then in your mother and your grandfather. That's what I want. See, I want that kind of faith that has a pedigree, that has a story. That for that to happen, I need to do something. I need to be a part. I like what it says here in Proverbs, and some of you maybe have heard this one. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up. We got to teach them. They got to learn. We got to spend some time investing in them. I'm going to tell you, I got my Bible. I'm going to just have osmosis. It just kind of flows. It doesn't work that way. We got to teach. And I like that with that passage. Really, I thought that first passage, as you sit down, as you walk around, as you go about, you're teaching. You're sharing it. It's not just our words, but I'm going to tell you, I need to model it. All right? I need to set the example. They need to see it in me. They need to see that in me. I want you to look again at what it says about Timothy here. That you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. That childhood, that faith that was birthed as a child. I'm going to tell you, there's no greater joy for me than to have baptized my grandchildren. I still got some more to baptize, I pray. I pray for them. You need to know, I prayed for them this morning. I prayed for my grandchildren, this is Christ. And I'll be selfish. I pray that I get to baptize them, okay? I'm selfish, you know, because that's my desire. But I've got to baptize some of my grandchildren already. See, I want that childhood faith. I want that. And when we do that, there's something going to happen. And here's what I extracted from Timothy. I extracted 2 points. Isn't it a nice message, just 2 points? 2 points. It instills a moral compass in them. All right? When you nurture them and you train them and you teach them from childhood, you instill a culture, a moral compass in them. They know what's right and wrong. You know, a lot of people today don't know what's right and wrong. You know how I know? I read Facebook. people do not know what's right and wrong. If they knew what was right and wrong, they wouldn't be posting some of the stuff they post. Anybody with that one? They wouldn't be saying some of the things they say. Love one another. Yeah, I love you, all right. Anybody read those posts on Facebook? But see, if we train up our children, if you can't say anything nice, somebody finish that for me. All right, you guys are with me. You know? Speak the truth in love. Got to set them straight. Isn't that what our world does today? I got to fix them. I got to set them straight. Is that speaking the truth? The Bible says speak the truth in love. I think people take things and twist them and say if we instill when they're young. You know, you can't say anything nice if you treat everybody right. Doesn't matter. They might have different choices in life. They might have things. You know, I got friends on Facebook that post some really fun language. You may have F-bombs. None of you guys do F-bombs, right? You know? I got, you know, I'm reading these Facebook and it's got F-bombs all over it and everything. And it's like, why am I a friend with them? Just block them. No. You know, they're talking about their life. You know what I say? They got all these F-bombs. I'm praying for you. You know what I get back? I get back, thank you. I'm serious. Serious. You know, they're dropping this and they're saying this and I mean, they're doing, and it's just, I'm praying for you. You know what? They still want it. See, we need to understand there's a foundation, there's a moral compass that we need to instill. And Timothy had that. There was a love, there was a compassion, there was a service to him. He was giving his life to others. It wasn't all about him. You know, wouldn't we like to see a world like that? Anybody want to see a world like that? I think it starts in the home as we teach them what God says and the truth of God. And we teach them that. But I also put down here this also. It created an extended support network. Now, Timothy had his mother and his grandfather and his grandmother. Doesn't say much about his father. We don't know much about his father. Don't know if he was a believer. Don't know anything about his father. All we know is he was a Greek. That's it. But as he grew up, all of us has a network of people around him now. I don't know about you, but would you like to run around with a guy named Paul? A man of character? A man of reputation? A man who'd love God? I would love my kids to run around with somebody like that. Silas. All these other church planters that he got to work with, all these other, he built a network of friends. He built a network of people. There's an extended family there is there. And see, this is where my message is coming from right now. And I want you to really get this. You want to get around a bunch of people that are like-minded, that they understand what you're saying, that this culture that we're seeing right now is not a true culture. You need to know, I believe America's going to change, okay? And I'm going to tell you what, I believe it's going to change for the better. I'm serious. We look at it now and we wonder what in the world's happening. Because I believe that what we do here today make a difference 15 years down the road. 20 years down the road. I believe that. That as we touch these lives, that's why you hear me talk in our church, and some of you haven't been here very much. I talk about Awana, the children's program. I talk about Vacation Bible School, the children's program, because I want to change the future, and I change the future not by I voted for so-and-so. I change the future as I teach and nurture a child in the good news of Jesus Christ and his love for everyone. Who's everyone? Everyone. Everyone. You know, and we need to see that. And that's what I want to. And we build ourselves with those that are around us. We build this network. We want to be around. I love coming to church. I love being in this place. This place is important to me. And it's not the building. I love the old blue building. Anybody remember the old blue building? I love the old blue building. All right? That was a good thing. You know? Although, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot nicer here. I even loved being in the school for a while. I'm glad I'm not old. I'm too old to do that anymore, man. 15 years of that was enough. Yeah. But I want that relationship. I want that network. I need those people around me, and we need those around us. Yeah. I look at this church and I've been blessed. My family's in Sacramento. Now that's only an hour away. We get to go up and see them all the time, you know. But I needed people here. You know? What do you do when you're sick and your wife's working and you got a and you're working and you got a sick child? Who do you call? Ghostbusters. No, who do you call? I'm going to tell you who you call. You call Martha. Martha. Amanda's got to come home. She's not feeling well. Can Amanda come to your house? Martha goes, no, she can't. No, you know Martha took Amanda. She took Jeremiah. Laura's working, I'm working. I have nothing. I can't do anything. I'm over in Mount Hermon at a church conference, and my wife has a car accident. I didn't drive. I'm in Mount Hermon over on the coast. And my wife has a car accident. Guess who shows up at the hospital to take care of my Martha and Mozella Brown? Bring my wife and my kids and everybody home and take care of my family. We'd go visiting. I always enjoyed going to Bill Yandell's house, Rose's house. And we'd go all the way out there. We'd be driving out there. And I'd look back at my back seat and I'd tell Jeremiah, do not ask to go flying. Do not ask to go flying. Bill had his airport out there. Bill had his crop dusting business. We drive out there. We wouldn't be there 5 minutes. And Jared goes, can we go flying? Bill would pull out that airplane. It didn't take anything to encourage Bill to go flying. I get sick. But I'm going up with my son. And I'm sick and all. I'm getting up there. You know? Bill would pull out that airplane and up we'd go. I'm going to blame Bill for Jared being a parachutist at the Army. I know. That's why he joined the Army and jumped paratroopers. But it's my family. You know, that was my support structure. They were there really praying for me. Had to do my brother's funeral when he committed suicide. I'm sitting in the mountains bawling my eyes out. Sitting next to a fork of the American River. I'm sitting there on that fork just crying. God, I can't do this. This is hard. But I knew one thing. There was Grandma Lily and Martha all of them, Mozella and Rose and all of them back in this church praying for me that day. See, there's something about a family. There's something about a church. You know, and I could go on and on with things that's in my life. My kids got to go to church camp. I couldn't afford my kids to go to church camp. But the Women's Mission Union in this church made sure my kids got to go to church camp and other kids in this church got to go to church camp. My kids went to church camp from the 3rd grade on and I never had to pay for it because I couldn't afford it. But they made sure, because you had family. See, church is a family. You know? And we need to see that. Yeah. Go to the hospital, and you sit at a hospital, and I'm praying with a young lady, and there's 4 or 5 of us from the church, and this lady in the church, her husband's having heart surgery. And so there's like 4 or 5 of us over here praying, and another lady walks in, a little older lady walks in, and she sits over here on this side, and we're sitting over here, and we're talking about church and about what's going on. And we prayed and we talked and we prayed some more. And we're having these conversations over here. And this lady over there looks up and she finally goes and she's seen us kind of have a break. She goes, do you have to go to church to be a good Christian? It's kind of like, whoa. By herself. Sitting over there. And it's like, I go, well, I hate to tell you, yes. Yes. And so I wrap up my conversation. I go and sit next to her. And she had a falling out at her church, and she had some hurt feelings. And I'll be honest, church long enough, you're going to get hurt. All right? None of us are perfect. And if nobody else hurt you, sooner or later, I'll say something that does. You know, I don't want to, but usually, I can say things that come out wrong. You know? But she asked that. So I went and sat next to her, and I began to talk with her. And she was hurting because she had fallen out. Now she's in there by herself while her husband is having emergency heart surgery. He had one a week ago and it didn't work and they're doing an emergency heart. And she said, do you need church family? Do you need somebody that's going to sit there and be there? See, we treat the church. But let me tell you something. What's so amazing to me is it's not new to skip out on church. So guess what I'm going to preach this morning? You need to go to church. Isn't it fun? You brought your family and your guests here, and the preacher's going to say, go to church. I read this article. Now, I'm just going to kind of share some articles. But what's interesting is this. Not going to church isn't new. That even in the first century, they stopped going to church. Look at what it says here in Hebrews. Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship. Jesus hadn't even been dead 30 years. He hadn't even been dead 40 years. And they're already dropping out of church. But we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other when you go to church. Encouraging each other. And especially since you know that the day of the Lord is coming, is getting closer. Now I'm going to tell you something. If they thought the day of the Lord was getting closer in the first century, where do you think we're at now? Yeah. You know, the reality is. And so I took this article, and I'm going to tell you what this article said. Now, if I offend you, put your steel-toed shoes on. Pull up and let's have some fun here this morning. Because I'm going to tell you, you need to go to church. Here's what it says here in this article. You need to go every Sunday. You know what's interesting? The statistics are this. Used to be, if you went 3 times a month, you considered yourself regular to church. You know what it says today? If you go twice, you consider yourself regular. All you can do is go twice a month and you're regular. I don't think that works. Regular means what? I don't know. For me, regular means I'm there. Week in, week out, I'm there. But we need to understand, yes, we need to go to church. We need to create this expectation. I knew as a child, if I was not quiet, we're going to go to church. But most of the time, my parents woke up anyway. You know, and dragged us to church. You know, and I remember sitting in church, and if I didn't behave, we'd go out the back door. And to be honest with you, I went out the back door a couple of times growing up. All right? Yeah. Some of you, I heard stories of some of you, you know, that old pinching. Anybody ever been pinched in church? You know, mom would lean over, dad would lean over. Yeah. That we go to church. It's something we do every Sunday. You want to train a child? Well, we just go when we feel like it. I still remember when I was in college, one of my college professors at a Baptist College, California Baptist College. It's a university now. She goes, I only go to church when I need it. And I'm going, well, let me tell you something. When you don't think you need it, you probably need it the most, is what I told her. She didn't give me a good grade. But I'm going to be honest. But we go every Sunday. How about this next one? You go with joy and expectations. You go with joy and expectations. Church should be fun. You ask the worship team and those that meet with me, I want this to be fun this morning. I want to have a good time. I think church should be fun. I don't want you to sleep. You know? I want you to listen. But not to me. I'm going to tell you, I look at God and go, God, why'd you call me to preach? You know, I look at some of these great preachers. I listened to one guy this morning, Ed Young Jr., and it's like, God, what am I doing? You know? But I go joy, and I expect God to do something. I expect God to move, and there's joy. Church should be a joyful place. That's why I'm not going to preach hell, fire, and brimstone to you. Now, do I believe hell's a real place? Yes. I believe it's a hot place. Yes. But I'd rather tell you, you know what? I'm working, and I'm serving, and I'm going to go to heaven someday. Not because I work or serve, but because Jesus Christ died for me and paid the price for me. You know, that's what and I'm excited about being here. It's fun to come here and hear what's going on in somebody's life and to see Martha and to see Linda and Rose and to see people growing and just have a good time. It's going to be fun afterwards. You know, just so I got some cake after church. Can you believe that? We got some cake for you guys after church. That's what I'm going to have to hurry up so I can get some cake. I haven't had breakfast yet. You know? But it's a high. There's a joy. There's an expectation. I expect God to move. Let's move. I'm going to, oh boy, this one's bad. Arrive on. Woo! Some of you better get some steel-toed shoes on. I shouldn't say that, but I did. Time. Know my rule. Anybody been to my church a while, you know my rule. Now, this is everywhere in life. Now, you need to understand. 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late. All right, 5 minutes early. If you are 1 minute early, you are not early. That's my wife, okay? If you're my daughter, you're 1 minute late. You're on time. My grandkids, my wife, my daughter is a teacher aide and she works with special ed up in where she lives. And her kids are tardy to school and she works there. My daughter, Jennifer, is 1 minute, 2 minutes, Laura's 1 or 2 minutes early. That's it, you know. Laura's 1 or 2 minutes late. They're on time. No! You want to come early? I'm here, just so you know. I'm up, I'm sitting around there, I'm getting up, and it's like, what am I going to do, sit around the house? I was here before 7 o'clock this morning. All right? Just hanging around the church, sitting in the prayer room, sitting in the office, looking over my notes, talking to God, walking around the building 7 times. You don't have to get here that early, all right? But be on time, all right? Be on time. It doesn't hurt, you know? I don't know. I don't, are you born that way? Is my wife born that way? Can somebody help me out? She's going to look in on me pretty soon, I'm sure. You know, I don't know if she's born that way or what. You know, but I wonder because I talk about raising a child in the home. That's one thing my dad, growing up, is you're where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. We were never late for work. We'd go by the donut store and eat donuts and have chocolate milk and then go to work. And we'd be 30 minutes early. We'd be loading our truck, getting ready to go. So when it was time to go to work, we're driving out. We've already worked 30 minutes. So I guess I'm going to blame my dad for that one. But see, you do learn things at home. How about this next one? Pray as a family before you arrive. Now, most of the time in the car, I've seen this. Well, I did this. You're driving to church, and you're yelling at the kids. Anybody else do that one? Why were you late? Why? You forgot your shoes? Anybody? Let's not yell, let's pray, all right? Let's pray on the way to church. Let's, you know, God, I'm going to give you a good prayer. God, preacher, he needs your help really bad. All right, some of you are saying, yeah, we know, all right? Yeah. Bless the children's workers who take time to be with your children this morning. Bless the nursery workers that take time to love and care with your children. Some of the best pictures I have is to have Martha sitting in the nursery of the old building with Jeremiah in her arms, singing Christian songs to him as a baby. I love that picture. Pray for those things. Pray as you go to church. How about this next one? Treat church as an extended family gathering. It's extended family gathering. It's family. This is my family. I've lost my mom. I've lost 2 brothers. This is my family. I always tell Martha, I don't know, you know, because when I came, Martha's either, she's like a mother, but she's like a grandma. I don't know what Martha is to me. And Rose, you know, Linda's like one of my kids. Some of your kids are like my kids. You know, I pray for your kids as much as I pray for mine. Think about that. Think about that. It makes a difference as part of what, you know, it's family. What's so interesting, we got to be careful because we are family. How many kids grew up in the church has married somebody that grew up in the church? You know, look around, think about that. You know, you want your kid to choose a good spouse? Oh, I'm going to go to the bar and find me a spouse. Yeah. I'll get me a good man at the bar. What do you think? You know, I'm praying for my grandson now. He's 20 years old, God. He enjoys a church up there, and I'm glad he does. He'll post, went to church and stuff like that, and I pray that he finds a spouse in that church. When I prayed this morning for the kids and your kids, I can name some of the kids I prayed for this morning. I prayed that God would make them, help them be a godly person and give them a godly spouse. For many of you, I can look at you and I can name you guys this morning. I prayed by name. And then I've got, if I forgot somebody, I pray for them too. You know, because it's family. Stay until the end. We don't have too much trouble with that. Now, I've been in a church where I've seen them walk out, okay? And I'm sure when I grew up, the church I grew up in, there was a guy that walked out at noon no matter what was going on. Literally, he stood up and walked out. I've already preached longer than I thought. This is supposed to be a short message. Let's go. Speak well of the church. kids have big ears. You ever say anything your kids repeat back and you're going, boy, did I say that? Don't criticize and don't attack your, you got something to say to me? Tell me. Don't text me, all right? I got a friend of mine that's a pastor. He's not a close friend, but I follow him on the internet. He has a web page. He has an email address that he gives out that if you want to criticize him, send it to this address. He has a specific address for critique. He says, I never read it. Yeah. And but speak well of the church. Lift up the church. If you keep talking down about it, guess what? They're going to talk down. And how about this? Receive the word with thankfulness. Sometimes it might be hard swallowing the preacher's word, like this morning. Man, he's all over me about going to church. Yes, go to church. All right? And how about the last one? Look for new people and people with needs. See, I love church. I love being here week in and week out. You need to know, even when I'm not here, if I'm on vacation, I go to church. All right? I've been to church in Atlanta. I've been to church in Dallas. I've been to churches in Atlanta. I've been to Woodstock and North Point. I've been to Fellowship Church in Dallas. We're driving. We're going to see my daughter-in-law graduate boot camp. We're driving through town. I see the church. I said, that's where I'm going to go to church. Went over to the hotel. It was just around the corner. Can you imagine that my hotel was around the corner from the church? I didn't even know that. I wonder if God had a hand in that. I do. I love being with fellow believers. I love the family. Yeah. And it's fun. But new people. See, I want to challenge you. You know, I want to encourage you. We're going to nurture our children. You can't do it by yourself. I could not have raised my kids by myself if it wasn't for this church. I needed the people in this church to walk alongside of me and to be with me. I needed this family. Yeah, I have family in Sacramento, but I needed these that were here in Forman. And so I wrote this at the bottom of the page, or at the next page. It says this: I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I sure dwells in you as well. Then I wrote this: I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your, can you put a name in there? And then who can you pass that on to? Like I said, I had the privilege to do my grandmother's funeral. My grandfather, part of my grandfather's funeral. That was an honor. She knew the Lord. I know where she's at. Sometimes it skips a generation. You know, I know my mom made a decision when she was a child. I know my dad made a decision when he was a child. But I just don't know where they're at right now. I got two brothers. I don't know where they're at. I don't know. They're in God's hands. I can't say, you know what, I'll never say somebody went to hell, because I can't say that. I'm not God. But I want to tell you what, I want to make it easy for my kids. I want my kids to know where I went, because I serve God. All right? Don't have to be a preacher to do it. Just be dedicated to God. You this morning, what kind of faith are you passing down? When somebody writes of your grandchild, when somebody writes of your child, can they say the faith in this child was first in this mother or father or grandmother or grandfather, and it has a pedigree of faith? See, I want to challenge you with that this morning, because that's what a baby dedication is all about. It's not just the parents. It's the home, but the home is bigger than just one home. There's a family, and there's a church family. So I want to challenge you, what kind of faith are you passing down? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you're a loving, caring, compassionate God. And Lord, we do want our homes to be a nurture for faith. Lord, right now, I look at our country. It's jacked up. But Lord, we can change it. not by voting for certain politicians or certain parties, or but by nurturing our children. Things don't change overnight. But when we nurture them in the love and compassion of Jesus Christ, and they know the love that you have for them and that they're going to have for you, and the love there with others, Lord, I pray for the future, the glorious future, because we change lives by modeling and teaching in our homes. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're going to pray this morning for these families that are going to dedicate, would you just shoot your arm up and pray for you? If you're going to pray for these families, you're going to pray for these children, would you shoot your arm up? Thank you. Thank those. Anyone else? Thank you. I see those. Lord, you've seen the hands of these that are uniting in prayer. We're going to pray specifically in just a moment, but I want to pray for these that you'll strengthen them, that you'll give them wisdom, that you'll encourage them, that they truly can be prayer warriors for family, for these little ones, that they will grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they will be men and women like Timothy, of good reputation, of making a difference and touching the lives of others. Lord, I thank you for these who honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.